welcome to a Tuesday morning live from the College Football Hall of Fame. This is the fastest 2 hours in all of radio. It's the Steakhouse, and thrilled to be joined by the Queen, Sandra Golden, and of course, the king of this setup here is certainly high school football and so much more from all his media entities. Rusty Manziel, nice enough to sit in again today. Good morning to both of you. How are you doing, my man?
Here, man. This kind of gets my juice going here. This is prime time, Rusty.
Especially today.
Yeah, it's a big day, man. Georgia's in the building.
Texas, Auburn, Tennessee, and Georgia. Mm-hmm. We turn to the lovely Sandra Golden, looking particularly fashionable and exciting today.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, these are my people.
Yeah.
You don't understand that I've known them from, Hugh Freeze.
Great,
you know,
Cole Kublik story.
Oh, my gosh. So, Hugh Freeze was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas State in 2011 when I first met him. So, Mario Cristobal was the head coach at FIU. So, you know the coaching tree.
Why were you?
I was the sideline reporter for the Sun Belt Network with CSS. Cole Kublik, who is a big star in the media, almost as big as Rusty, but not close to Rusty.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just love to be around the people, and it also reminds me it's college football season.
There comes Georgia in the building. It's Gunnar Stockton, CJ Allen, and Dalen Everett walking in. So, the players will be making their way down. It's go time.
What time is Kirby on stage
He's
today?
He's on 11.
11 a.m., but yep. They're going to be bouncing around for 2 hours here.
They're doing interviews all over the place. Yep.
Yeah, putting them in the mix, getting them ready for the onslaught of covering Georgia. And remember, we talked about it last week, the reason they brought – I think he brought Brock Bowers, right? Is Kirby's like, I'm going to terrorize him.
He had to make him uncomfortable.
No, I know.
Yeah, he did.
He did a great job of that.
Let me tell you something. I looked in Brock Bowers' eyes, and that man was terrified. Like,
legit.
He was like, I have no part of this. And Kirby's like, your ass is going.
Well, I'll tell you one, watching him recently, I don't know what it was on. It might have been McAfee. It was tight end camp. They were doing something.
A lot better.
So much better.
Dude.
So relaxed. And
did you see the videos of him hitting home runs last night in Las Vegas?
No.
He's hitting pipes. Balls way out of the park in Las Vegas for the Raiders doing a celebrity softball tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Dude can absolutely rake in baseball.
I'm not surprised.
It doesn't surprise me.
I was going to say,
Mom was a softball coach.
Okay.
He's got some swing.
That makes sense.
He's got some swing.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about elite athlete. He is certainly in it. So, we're here at SEC Media Days. If you didn't listen yesterday, let me reset kind of what's going on. There is no finer setting, and we've been to – 15 Super Bowls for Radio Row, Sandra, and SEC Media Days, and we've been to Final Four when they do Radio Row. The setup at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, overlooking, that's really the prize, is the setup for the coaches and players. The media setup is spectacular. Then they have a Radio Row on the second floor of the College Football Hall of Fame. We're staring at the beautiful Steve Penley, paintings in front of us, and it's just, listen, ATL does it different, right? All due respect, Nashville and Charlotte and all these other towns didn't want to pull it off.
Atlanta, it means more. So I know they have to move it around, but it's never going to be better than this.
I say
that with confidence.
You know, the just being honest yesterday, the vibe was everybody still wants to go back to Hoover.
Because of the crowd.
Because of the crowd, and it's one room, like the entire hotel,
right.
Everything's there. I still think this, to me, is the great – because you're in the College Football Hall of Fame. But, it's so much tradition with Hoover. You know, I was talking to a lot of people yesterday in the room. They're like, dude, I kind of like this. But there's also, the All-Star game going on. There's a Beyonce concert. There's a lot going on in our city.
No, I said it.
And you go to Hoover, the whole damn block is shut down.
With all due respect to Huntsville, Alabama, they don't get to decide that because the SEC is as big an entity as there
right.
is.
It's
in
always
the game.
I think it's gonna go Nashville, Birmingham, Atlanta rotate. I think it will go back to Dallas.
They don't have to go west at all.
No,
for
I don't
Texas
think so.
Oklahoma.
They did last year for them.
Yeah. I compared it to why the Super Bowl will never be back in the Northeast for numerous reasons, but it won't go to New York because it barely was a ripple. I mean, I can tell you this, yesterday they were talking about Beyonce in the All-Star game. Fans don't even recognize that the entire SEC is in downtown Atlanta. To your point,
yep.
This city has got a lot going on. Nothing really was bigger than four nights of Beyonce downtown. I promise
Unbelievable,
you, when
man.
Rusty pulled up, the hotel prices.
Oh, my God.
A lot of that was being driven by the four nights of Beyonce.
I had a buddy text me yesterday. He was sitting in his office up in Marietta. He goes, holy smokes, I had no idea when y'all were talking about that. He goes, we Googled in the office, and it created a discussion. They were like, look at hotel prices
right.
in Atlanta. It's unreal.
I'm at the Bell Yard in Midtown, which is my favorite. They've given me a nice deal to stay because that's my part-time home. So Major League Baseball All-Star, first of all of the draftees were at the hotel.
Oh, wow.
For Major League
awesome.
Baseball.
That's awesome.
Players are at the whole thing. But what was going on with the Beyonce concert in the lobby?
The outfits.
With lions and tigers and bears and sequins and hats.
You take
it's fabulous. The gays, well done.
The gays love it. Midtown.
Well, it's the Bay gays are the best of it gays.
They
so
are.
Don't,
better than
girl.
The Gaga.
They would have, in a street fight, it would be like West Side Story. I'm telling you right now. It would be worth a watch.
God, that's good.
Oh,
so, is that what they call the Bay Gays?
Bay Gays. Oh, yeah.
Midtown Atlanta, the Bay Gays were out.
Man.
But I heard she was absolutely spectacular for 4 days.
I've
absolutely.
Kind of been obsessed watching the – that's the wonderful thing about Instagram.
The Instagram
kind of there.
Cuts and
yeah,
all that.
So it's all good.
So
all good.
We should get into – well, we'll get into our 9-9. I was at the Home Run Derby last night. Posted a little bit of it. My phone ran out by the time they started hitting dingers. It was I'll say this about the event without sounding in any way like I'm not appreciative to be at something like that. Because I think the last Home Run Derby I was at was Fenway Park when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were putting on a show. The Battery was the star. The energy Aww. Of the Battery, and I was at four or five different events. I don't know if you saw my video with Mike Bell. I ran into him at the
Aww,
bar.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, he was prime.
That's weird. You ran into Mike Bell at the bar. That
yeah.
is crazy.
I mean, literally,
shocking,
him and Big Ray and his whole crew, they were at
oh, that's so
the
great.
Bar. My wife and I were there together. And I can just tell you they're just built for it at the Battery. I mean, they're built for it. It was a lot of private corporate parties, but then was a ton of fans and the energy. Now it was hot, man. I mean, this is as hot as it gets.
Yeah, dude.
This is another level of like bouncing around there. And if you're drinking tequila and a few beers and bouncing to parties and everything else, the actual event itself. Now, my wife was there last year because she works in the sports biz, and she said Atlanta blows away Texas. Last year, I think it was in Texas, but. It really is a made-for-TV event.
It looks great on TV to me. Like the slow-mo 4K camera, the slow-mo yeah, they did on Matt Olson, and you see the cameras popping.
Totally
but you,
agree.
You
awesome,
can't
man.
Understand like what's going on when you're there live. And there's so many players and kids on the field. So, listen, I was lucky enough. We're just in those Delta seats and right off the field by about 20 seats. But there's so many people in front of you. Remember, they're bringing their kids. They're bringing their, you know, family members. So there's just a rash of people, and they're trying to explain what's going on. But you really can't keep up. Matt Olson not hitting till 9:40. I mean, 9:40. People got in that building at 6 o'clock, and I think you saw at the end. There weren't a lot of folks. I mean, there were folks there, but not at the same level. So too long, and – you know, Matt Olson can't hit 8th at 9:40. That was long, right?
Yeah.
Waiting for him.
Yeah.
So I got home because I didn't leave after Olson, and I watched the last hour and a half at home, and that was, you know, great.
Yeah.
Watching the big dumper go out and do what he did. But
Florida State's own Cal Raleigh, you mean? The big dumper?
Yeah, and the stuff with
first catcher ever.
You know who's going to get an NIL? His brother, his younger brother.
Is he the cutest?
I mean, that kid, the publicity last night
dude,
on him.
Let me tell you, there's some 16-year-old girls.
His Instagram was hot last
oh
night.
My
I guarantee
God, dude,
you.
I just love that he said, I just want to be like
it.
My brother. So
know,
they had
I
him on the set of MLB.
I watched
and,
it.
Eduardo Perez, Florida State guy. So the fact that was all, I just thought that was a beautiful story. I really enjoyed it. I really did. And
that
I know
story
people
was
are gonna,
great. It just goes on for it.
Forever. Yeah,
it goes on forever. You lose the juice by the end of it. And then, you know, you get the interview on the field, and then you put him over there with Carl Ravitch to do that whole deal.
I miss a little energy with the back. Something is missing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris Berman did a great job. People want to, you know, give him a hard time. He did a great job with it. The star power is not the same as back then. But, listen, Atlanta's doing a great job. I think the All-Star game, and I'm not kidding, there are so many people on the field you could not understand if you were there. you know, like he's one home run away or he needs two more or how many pitches.
Did
you
have guys,
no idea.
Did you know that if there was a tie, they're going to go to
no.
the longest?
No.
So Brent
By
Rooker, if I'm Brent Rooker, I'm because he had a, he literally, I think it was 0.08 of an inch.
That seems
so
ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
Just have them both go in there and get three cuts. I mean, it's so long
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
Just go. You get three pitches.
That's
you
a good
have
way
to
do
swing.
It.
That way you're pitching. That way your batting practice coach, you know, Cal's dad's on the hook, whatever. But don't be eliminated because of a few inches.
Listen, it always hurts you guys. Those just couple of point
inches.
It's a difference maker. Yes. I'm telling you. But I did, and he was like, he's not complaining afterwards. But he said, I didn't even know about
that.
They
cool.
should put it on the board or something.
I miss Dale Murphy and not being in the Hall of Fame. I'm still pissed off.
Yeah.
And that was my baseball thought last night. How are we sitting here in Atlanta?
Oh, that's funny.
And our two-time freaking MVP, who millions idolized, who
any
is,
other city
could be
any
the
other
face
time.
Of a city.
Yeah, it's like Tommy.
How in the hell
like
is
what
this
happened
guy
to Tommy
not
Novus.
In the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Sorry to sidetrack you, but I got pissed off.
So let me ask you.
Chipper was all over that thing. That was a lot on the TV side of it. Lots of stuff with Chipper, which was
did
great.
Did they show Chipper?
By
and
the way,
Andrews?
Pat McAfee should have been doing the Home Run Derby. There I said it.
Big news, Pat, big news today, Pat McAfee flying right back to Indianapolis. The number one player in the state of Georgia, Grayson linebacker Tyler Atkinson, is flying up right now with his dad. He will make his college decision on McAfee today in Indianapolis in the studio. This is a five-star young man. He's fully signed with Adidas, fully agent marketing team, everybody, Texas, Georgia, Clemson, and Oregon.
I
will be surprised if he's not hooking.
Has there ever – is that unprecedented? Has a player ever announced on
no,
McAfee?
No, they did. One did last week, but not in studio. He's going in studio live.
I think Caleb
– oh, my God.
I think Caleb Wilson, the basketball player from Holy Innocent, announced on McAfee.
Yes, a couple guys announced, but not live.
Right.
I want to say something about my guy right here. We may not get him. That's Connor Liu. He is an All-American at Auburn. He went to Auburn at 16 years old. He wants to be a pilot. He wants to be a NASA pilot. He's an All-American there. He's from Kennesaw Mountain High School. Great kid. I've covered him a long time. And you're talking about a polished young man. That's an All-American. It's 18 years old as a
junior.
Yeah.
18-year-old junior.
Junior. Dude went to college. Auburn at 16.
What is he, about 7'3"? Is that what
like
at there?
So he recognized you from covering him?
I've covered him a long time. He sent me a DM the other day. He sent me a birthday DM.
I'll let you go say hi to him. Yeah. A lot of stories to get to today.
Rusty's
going to go grab him, say hey. Texas, Auburn, Tennessee, and Georgia today. A lot of big stories yesterday, Sandra. We'll get back to. Not the least of which was Nick Saban coming back to coach. That
wow, that's
a,
which school is he going to? That really blew up. That was the big headline.
No, that was a huge headline, obviously. So a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to go to break here.
Yeah.
We'll come back live at the College Football
And you guys game. Stay with us because Rusty knows everybody. When the players come through, he's going to just grab them and they'll be on with us. So this is kind of cool. Stay with us. This
to have Rusty
nice.
Here is huge.
He's the mayor.
A lot of stuff going on. More on my sights and sounds from last night at the Battery, which was absolutely spectacular. Atlanta's on fire. We're at the SEC Media Days. Rusty Manziel, Sandra Golden, Steak Shapiro. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, and Rusty Manziel making up the nucleus of this two-hour radio show in the great city of Atlanta with the biggest sports talk ratings in history for 92.9. So kudos to the entire lineup, particularly Andy and Randy, where it's got a little number one attached to them these days. And
you know, Randy got knighted. Did you hear that? He got knighted. They filled out the paperwork for his birthday, didn't tell him. Andy and the rest of the crew sent it to England, got the paperwork back, and he is officially knighted.
Wow. What do we have to call him?
It's Sir Randy McMichael now.
Oh, Sir Randy.
Of Fort Valley.
Much like Sir Paul McCartney.
That's
you
right.
heard the sultry sounds
there
coming
you go.
In. You guys, he's coming in concert. November the 2nd, the pre-sale and VIP tickets go on this morning shortly at 10 a.m., we have not one, but two sets of tickets to give away right now. 404-726-0929. We'll take caller 5 and caller 6.
Are you
tell
gonna,
Bo how awesome you love the steakhouse and you can
hold
win.
On, hold
Band
on
the run, baby.
Yeah.
Band
so
on the run.
Give us 3 songs from his Wings album.
Oh,
right?
God.
Make them work for it.
Bo,
and by the way,
Bo's going to kill you, steak.
What did he say? Just make it simple? Is that what he said?
Yeah, sorry.
Are you gonna diss Andrew and not mention he's at State Farm Arena, our friend Andrew Saltzman?
I thought I did say State.
No,
yeah,
you said
I'm
he's
super
coming
excited.
To town. He's
coming to State Farm Arena.
State Farm Arena.
So these
Paul
tickets
McCartney.
Are for November the 2nd, and this morning at 10 a.m. they go on sale. Have y'all ever seen Paul McCartney yet? You probably have. I have
don't
not.
Think I have. No, I have not. You seen him?
I have not. No,
okay.
I want to go.
All right, so. While that's happening back at the ranch, we're live at the College Football Hall of Fame. In terms of the stories yesterday from, obviously, the Nick Saban rumors started, I guess, by Greg McElroy.
Yeah,
right?
He backed that down a little bit.
Yeah. We'll find out if he's going to come on later or not. He was supposed to, and I may not be. Obviously, Brian Kelly on the hot seat to a degree. They got to win their opener. They've been struggling with that at LSU.
Huge game. I talked to Whit Weeks, linebacker out of Oconee County, who was an All-American at LSU, and I said, look, man, that's a big one. And he goes, we're excited to go there.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson may be – certainly they have the most NFL prospects right now for next year's draft. They're staying on that Clemson roster
really
now.
Really loaded, yep.
Yeah, Dabo Sweeney with the team that he's been kind of building towards last few seasons. A very tough opener for Brian Kelly. We'll hear some of that later on the tailgate. Also, Greg Sankey speaking on the fact that the SEC and the Big
50,
Ten
– 50 minutes he held court.
Oh, of course he did. I mean, nobody loves to pontificate more than Greg Sankey. God bless
Greg
him.
Greg Sankey's coming on live on Thursday, 10 o'clock in the morning.
With,
I know you're going to be gone.
With you guys.
Me and Abe.
Y'all.
I'm super excited.
With y'all.
With y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I'm going to miss him. I'm going to be overseas across the pond. We'll talk about that, or maybe we won't talk about it. I have that pre-travel anxiety, being out of town for that long. Right?
I would, too.
You know, that's called first-class problems. So I'm looking forward to
first
a vacation.
First-world problems, baby.
With my beautiful wife and seeing Sophie over there in Barcelona and the whole deal. However, there are more important things like the SEC and the Big Ten trying to figure out how this expansion of the playoffs will look, which is, Rusty, I would think, inevitable, right? They'll figure it out at some point.
Yep.
2026, we'll have 16 teams. I don't think there's much doubt whether it is the 5-11 format or the 4.
Which the SEC wants the 5-11 format, which is the conference championships, 11 at large. And the Big Ten, right, Rusty, they want to guarantee they get 4. They want to go 4-4, 2-2, 3 at large.
Everybody wants the SEC to play 9 games. And the SEC says, we're not playing 9 until you show us how this thing's going to work. And that's – you can – all the headlines and all the numbers – that's what it boils down to.
When I think of the SEC playing 9, right, and maybe, listen, it's just you're a year or two from the NFL, most of these guys, so maybe it's a ridiculous thing for me to think, because in the NFL there are no Western Carolinas. Look at Georgia's schedule early, the South Alabama, whatever it is. But it just feels like if you're playing 9 SEC games on the road at Oxford, on the road at Knoxville, on the road in Athens, you know, playing at home against the powerhouses that is Alabama, Texas, I mean – the depth is going to be such a factor, and to stay healthy in a 12-game season with 9 SEC games and a 16-game playoff, I mean, I think there's a difference with a 26-year-old body as a professional athlete and a 19-year-old kid who may be a sophomore and ask him to go through the gauntlet of a season like that, Rusty, when there's nothing like playing in the SEC. All due respect, we've talked about the Big Ten before. The Purdue's of the world and the Indiana's and, you know, the lessers of the Big Ten. And sorry if you're driving around, but it's not the same as the lower end of the SEC, which last year had Vanderbilt that outright beats Alabama and almost beat Texas. And that's supposed to be the bottom end.
Adding a game at Northwestern at noon doesn't hit the same way as going to Baton Rouge and LSU on a Saturday night and having your ass buckled up for a Saturday night, oh, by the way, late November game. Yeah, a little different. Hits a little different.
That's our quote right there. That's exactly right. So if you're listening over there and putting stuff together, Rusty said it. I mean, it is a different animal to play 9 games in the Southeastern Conference. And
I can tell you behind the scenes, those coaches want no part of it until that is determined how they're going. And Greg Sankey got their back. They want no part of adding a 9th game because it is different, period. And I don't care who you're
a fan of. I think it's an entire conversation we could have about playing the SEC championship game and playing nine games and playing a 16-game playoff. Something has got to give. And you know what gave out a few years ago? Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, which cost Georgia a chance for a national title. Now, Carson Beck gets injured. That could happen anytime, especially when you're in a Hail Mary at the end of the half. But my point is, there's no way, Rusty, you can have all those things also. You can't tell a team to go play an SEC title, to play nine SEC games, and then possibly you lose the SEC game, Sandra. You don't get the bye, right?
Yep.
The winner of the SEC game is going to have the bye. They'll move on. You lose the SEC game. You play the nine SECs. You play in the SEC title. Now you've got a four-round playoff.
You think Ohio State was pissed off? They didn't play last year? They got healthy and got right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I just think with the SEC, and the question yesterday, I got a question. I did all the podcasts yesterday. Everybody asked me what was going to happen to the SEC championship. There's a million reasons that game's going to stay.
Right.
Millions of reasons.
No, I know. Yeah.
Not going anywhere.
I want to back you up, Rusty, in terms of on the record, the money's going to land and the SEC's going to have nine games.
At some point.
That's going to happen.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Some point.
Well, I get it because ESPN is offering.
But I know why we're in a delay right now.
Right.
I know why we're in a delay. But you're right. At the end of the day, somebody's going to make that decision.
Listen, there is a reason that the National Football League continues to add networks from Peacock to Netflix to Amazon. Right, one extra week of the NFL doing a Saturday night game, right, to gain subscribers. Is worth whatever, $500 million, $1 billion,
and they're about to have game 18, so they can talk all they want about injury.
100%. ESPN gets an extra week. So, what does an extra week look like in SEC? I don't know if you're Disney, ESPN. Look at this extra game. Ole Miss is traveling to Texas.
Oh yeah,
Georgia is going to be at Oklahoma.
Even if you go to to Arkansas at night. A Saturday night in Fayetteville? Got your hands full. Ask Tennessee. They went and got beat last year there.
There's no way with 16 teams in eight games that four of them aren't marquee games.
Yeah.
Four of them. So somebody's going to pay for that.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to say, I need more viewers. I need more advertising dollars. So think about it. In a 16-game league of this prowess, four of those out of eight games, four of them are going to be close to blockbuster, right?
No question.
Okay, but you are a model for the NFL right now. I understand both sides of it, but if we're going to act like the NFL and the Duck, you are that model.
So
is
do
in
you
play.
Agree then that, or you disagree that nothing's going to give? They're going to have a 16-game playoff. They're going to have a 9-game SEC. And they're going to have an SEC
and they're
title
gonna,
game.
They're going to get on their phone app at Wells Fargo, and they're going to deposit that check.
Right.
Because it's all – and Rusty does this,
it's
please.
Just,
the money. I like that they're filibustering because I don't blame him because they're the great and powerful Oz. Greg Sankey has all the juice to stand up there and say, it'll be on our terms.
Is there any notion, Rusty, that let's play it out, 12 games, 9 SEC, SEC title, you're at 13 – and then you're up to 17 games if you want to run for a national title.
Yeah.
And you're 20-year-old body, 27-year-old professional
athlete. And listen to me. I know this. I know people don't talk about education much anymore. But those kids do go to class. And they do have to go to study hall. Now, I don't mean they're going to be attentive. But it's not like a professional athlete where you see Jared Goff walking with his wife and watching TV and sitting on the couch and not worrying about a project that's due. I mean, they do have those types of – so their schedules are different.
Let's just say this. If they don't, and Rusty talks about this all the time, it's my favorite line, what are you doing for the next 50 years? I understand you're that's not going to foster any notion that they're anything but pseudo-professional athletes.
Because
how many of those kids are playing in the NFL? How many kids are playing SEC football next year?
Okay, that's fine. Jordan Travis got hurt against North Alabama. It's a number on the scale. By the way, the Georgia
Clemson.
What does
the injury have to do with it?
Because you just said, they wouldn't have got injured if there wasn't that extra team.
No, I didn't say that.
But
I said it's part of it. I said education-wise, it just tells you you're not even in college. You're a professional athlete. You're paid like a professional athlete.
Semi-pro.
I mean, you're right. I'm not just
semi-pro.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
They're going to play nine games, and what's going to go away are those Alabama-Florida State opener. and the, maybe a South Carolina Clemson right. or a Clemson.
Because you're still. Maybe we talked about that yesterday.
LSU right. Clemson.
Y'all, it's
the craziest game ever. Is Clemson is hosting LSU week one. And what's the other? What's Notre Dame, Miami,
Texas, Ohio State, right, Florida State, Alabama. So if you don't think he's trying to keep all the money in the conference, he is a businessman, and I don't blame him. But guess who wins? The fan, right? Like you're talking Saturday night in Arkansas.
Why do you win if you lose Texas, Ohio State? Because you just said it. You're going to lose Texas, Ohio State. You're going to lose Clemson.
But now you're Texas at home against another SEC team.
So it's even. Fans would rather see a big interconference game week one than possibly that. But whatever. There's a lot to say there. We got to go to break. When we come back, lots more from yesterday's highlights from SEC Media Days. Stake Sander and Rusty on Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, driving around Atlanta. I hope you're enjoying the biggest, baddest radio signals. A lot of radio stations here. Birmingham and Huntsville, Baton Rouge, and I don't know, New Orleans.
My high school best football player in my high school, David Basil, is on the radio from Little Rock, Arkansas, right over there.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Full scholarship.
Where did you go to college?
Arkansas. And yeah. Lou Holtz came to my high school. We thought it was the president, you know, back that's in awesome. The day. It was before all y'all were born, but it was so fun.
Yeah. So a lot of stations. No one's bigger, though, than this station.
You're not kidding.
We're in the biggest city, the biggest signal, the biggest ratings. So that's kind of why they're looking at us like we're a big deal over here. Hello, guys. Anybody?
Anybody? Hello?
Guys?
Bueller?
Oh, yeah. No, we're really a big deal. Yeah. No, see, like I have a food blog. You know what I mean? No. I know. Like, it's a big deal.
He'll eat a sandwich, y'all, right in front of you. He'll eat it.
I mean, listen.
He'll eat it.
You may be an All-American. You may have been All-SEC at LSU, but I don't think you understand this. I had a Cuban sandwich in Dahlonega. That was spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. So, yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. Your jersey may be hanging here. My jersey's hanging at Bagelicious in East Cobb.
Oh, that's funny.
So let's talk about tonight and the Braves. I will say last night being down there for the Home Run Derby, you know, it was amazing how the battery comes to life. There's a reason that every sports team in the world, I would say, Rusty, from Tennessee trying to mirror that, right, to, you know, Fenway Park now trying to build, like, a massive entertainment complex surrounding the ballpark, to international soccer teams that are coming through here trying to do the same. The battery just comes to life in a way that is unique to Atlanta. And the buzz there last night, and I was everywhere from Antico Pizza to Sport and Social to a couple of the breweries and the whole deal. Like, there's an energy and a buzz. The Roxy hosting the baseball draft earlier,
right? Awesome, yeah.
I assume the players you said are
I have some friends that's been to the All-Star Gala, whatever, fanfare there. They said it was awesome. Their kids loved it.
At the Galleria?
Yes.
Yeah, no,
loved it. You get custom gloves, everything.
Bo, were you there the other day?
Yeah, I went on Saturday.
So tell me, why was it so good? What did they do so well?
If you've ever been to SEC Fanfare,
yes.
You take that and you double it because it's on both floors of the Cobb Galleria. Exhibits, vendors, celebrities,
wow.
Stars,
get custom cards,
video
made.
Games. You can play, you know, MLB The Show, 2K. Yeah.
So that's interesting because it's their only chance to do it is All-Star Week, a weekend, right?
Yeah.
They don't do it in World Series. You can't set it up in time. So two floors of it, Bo, huh?
Yeah, absolutely
huge. Fantastic, man.
Topps has a big baseball card exhibit that had a line going out the door.
Yeah, that's awesome. And baseball really taking advantage, which is why they started on Saturday, I think, Sandra, and it goes all the way through till today. So Atlanta's shining bright through that. I think, you know, there's a lot of commotion on that field during the Home Run Derby with all those people flying around. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of non-All-Stars on the field.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really hard when you're there live. You know, no offense to the guy who was trying to announce it, but I had no idea until I got home exactly why the big dumper moved on over, you know,
Who is the kid? Bo, who is the guy that hit one over
the
sign?
Oh, my God, dude. Did you see that?
O'Neill Cruz.
513, right?
Can you
hit
talk
one into the battery and broke a window in the office building across from the green space.
513.
Dude, I want you to think. Is that C. Ellett's?
Yeah, where C. Ellett's is. C. Ellett's is attached to that building, correct.
Dude,
so that
do you understand that baseballs are not supposed to land there?
They're not supposed to land there.
Right, Bo. I mean...
The architecture was like, we'll never have to worry about a ball right in here. Your kids are safe. Your kids are good.
Do you imagine sitting on the deck at C. Ellett's next to the green space and a baseball lands in your vicious swamp?
And you've had a couple. You're like,
couple,
what the hell was that?
I'm cutting into my lobster mac.
It's immediate media shower.
I mean, that kid was jacking it.
I'm curious as to how much of a delay for the people sitting in the green space watching on the monitor.
Yeah.
How much of a delay there was because
they
probably didn't have any warning.
Yeah, that was just
wild, man.
But were the kids allowed or the players allowed to come into like that Delta area, the lounge, the drinking, the partying? What was going on?
That's
in
the
your...
truest area.
There were scattered players that weren't participating necessarily in the events that weren't in uniform that were all over the place. There were signings going on everywhere.
Do you see Chipper and Andrew next to each other?
So good, yeah.
With their wives, girlfriends.
That Matt Olson applause gave me chills. And for Matt Olson to say, I have never heard it this loud in here.
Yeah.
When he got going, I don't know what he was doing the first part of that. Hits four and takes a timeout. He had to regroup.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that was very, very
so
exciting.
You're not happy Ron Acuna is not leading off in Atlanta,
so
right?
Let me tell everybody. I don't know what Dave Roberts and Snitker and them are thinking, but Shohei Ohtani's leading off, which I get it. He's the greatest of all time. But Acuna is the hometown guy. He's batting second tonight.
Yeah. I mean, and Ron Acuna.
And he's playing left.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
Kyle Tucker,
think about if you bought those tickets for your son. Hey, let's get the right field
seats.
Right. We'll get to watch Acuna. You'll be up close, all-star, and then, by the way, he's going to be over in Marietta on the other side.
I wonder if they could get him to say anything, about that. Somebody will put a mic in his face today and ask him about it for sure, so we'll see how that plays out.
Tarek Skubal and Paul Skeens were on the set with Mark DeRosa last night. I was flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm. Those two. So those are your starting pitchers tonight. I've never heard Paul Skeens kind of chat a lot. Great personality. Tarek Skubal as well said he couldn't wait to just get with Chris Sale and Clayton Kershaw, bend their ear. He said this is a real time for those pitchers to be really learning from each other.
Yeah, Paul Skeens is living life pretty good right now.
Gosh.
On and off the field.
Except that he's playing for
on and off the field.
Yeah, I mean the star power tonight, I think, will be, exciting for baseball, exciting for Atlanta fans to watch. I think a real notion of, I'm going to look at the number, but the National League to try to step up tonight, obviously with Acuna and Ohtani at the top of that order. And then, of course,
Kettle Marte, Freddie Freeman, batting cleanup, Machado, Will Smith, Kyle Tucker, Francisco Lindor, and Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
You think Acuna gets two at-bats?
Yeah.
I think
Dave Roberts got to leave in Acuna for sure, especially because we didn't get him in the home run derby, right? So, by the way, the National League, a very small favorite tonight in the All-Star game, -120. The over-under in the All-Star game is 7. Not a lot of runs. If you're asking Mr. Steak, take the over and take the National League. I think it's going to be a good night.
That is interesting, Steak.
Only 7 runs.
Why would that be?
I think traditionally they're looking at all-star games. It's a pitcher's game.
Yeah.
For the most part, guys come in, they're throwing hard.
Not going to be aggressive. Not going to steal bases. They're not going to stretch doubles because they don't want anybody to pull anything.
Yeah, and you're getting.
Not that I've got a problem, but I'm thinking about that too.
The best in the game pitching for an inning.
I will say the short porch in right field gives you opportunity for easy runs.
And the weather. I mean, the ball's flying with the weather and the humidity.
I like that.
All right, let's do a little there's my play. There's my little tip.
I like that.
Let's get.
That was worth the whole hour.
Let's get to it. I just made you a little money.
Yeah.
I just made you a little money. So yesterday, a lot of quarterbacks talking. Garrett Nussmeier, obviously, was sitting right next to us here. The LSU quarterback Diego Pavia, obviously entertaining as hell up there.
Juiced up, man. Juiced up. You can just see when he walks in, you can tell he's got some ish in his neck.
A lot of Johnny Manziel.
He's got some ish in his neck.
Yeah, because Johnny Manziel had the big win over Alabama. This guy had another big win over Alabama. That makes you a star, Lenora Sellers. But the guy in the hot seat, really, in terms of getting it done, is Brian Kelly. part of what you're paying us for, I think, is get our opinion. I want to play this for you guys and get your opinion. He's asked if expansion and more SEC games like we just talked about is something he's okay with.
I think we would push for as many teams as possible if they were evaluated based upon what their schedule looks like. And so that's why both of those questions kind of dovetail together, in that if we're talking about win-loss record, they're not all the same based upon what conference you're in and who you play.
Again, back to the notion of a 16 team and a 5-11 means at least one or two more SEC teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you talk about Brian Kelly being on the hot seat. I'm trying not to piss off Bo, but I looked at his bio. I mean, this guy's like $40 or $50 million left. That's a big decision in today's world. I mean, I don't know that he's quite on the hot seat, in my opinion.
No, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I shouldn't even say that. I think the pressure is to win their opener, LSU in
that
general.
That is a huge game for them for momentum in the season.
22, they lose to Florida State. 23, they lose to Florida State. 24, they lose to USC.
Yeah, the USC loss last year. That was the Brian Kelly pounding the table.
That's right.
You can't lose that game.
It was in Vegas. That was in Vegas, right?
Yeah, that was in Vegas. It goes right down to the wire.
And they will face a little team called Clemson. So that's
on the road.
Another death.
He's also asked about coaches and standing up in the new NIL era.
Starts with us. It starts with coaches. If I was at a speaking engagement a few weeks back, and every question about the NIL was trying to find a way around it. Trying to find a way to bring in revenue in some other force. Sooner or later, we've got to take the stand that transparency, consistency, ethics, and morality are at the core of this. If that's where we're at, we're going to be able to move to that next step and continue to make progress.
Push forward, it'll never be worse than it's been the last number of years, where there's absolutely no governors whatsoever. So the $20 million payroll per athletic department, Rusty, the Deloitte manner of looking in NIL, I get it. I hear these sports talk radio guys just like, that's never going to – it's better than nothing. At least you have, an accounting firm that's trying to see some validity to a company actually paying somebody in an NIL deal, looking for pay stubs, looking for some proof of that is going on. I mean, I'm not telling you that that's going to, clean it all up, but at least they're trying something from the wild, wild west of the last 4 years, which was completely out of control.
Yeah, and there's already some hesitation with Deloitte saying they're backed up on cases. Some players are missing NIL opportunities because of that. So
it's overwhelming.
It's going
to be a
lot. To
the tune of 5 to 7 weeks of a backup.
Yes.
That is not 3 days.
But can you imagine trying to be – be careful what you wish for as an agency to see. We're the ones that have to verify these NIL contracts and relationships. So a couple of good topics just to kick around there, which we'll continue to do. We are live at SEC Media Days.
Player here today, I want to mention this story on air because I say it a lot and people get kind of – C.J. Allen, a linebacker at Georgia, he's here today. He's a young man from Lamar County High School. I went down to see him a couple years ago. He was in high school, watched him work out. And the head coach there told me a story. He goes, Rusty, he goes, that kid right there has 50 offers. And he said, me and my wife are in charge of cleaning up the track after a track meet. That's part of my job. He goes, my wife was so hungry after a meet one day, we go to the restaurant in town in Barnesville. He said, we come back an hour and a half later, and I see the gate open. Nobody's there. He goes, there's one individual with a trash bag, and he said, C.J. Allen cleaned the entire stadium by himself. And he said, I walked up to him and said, C.J., what are you doing? He said, Coach, we're not going to leave it like this. There's too much trash. I knew you had something going on. Nobody was there. He didn't care. Didn't want any fanfare. This kid, 50 offers, and he's the only person there cleaning the stadium. And you realize why he's here representing the Georgia program today? Little stuff like that.
Can't wait to watch that 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, Kirby's – you see, it's starting to pack out now. Kirby's about an hour away. This is a lot more people than it was yesterday.
Oh, no doubt. Yep. And today's a huge day. Georgia, Texas, Auburn, and Tennessee a part of it. You said yesterday the greatest hot streak maybe in Georgia recruiting history.
Yeah, man, they did. It's going to cool off today. I think Tyler Atkinson is going to go to Texas.
And
I'm telling you, it's not. Don't go. They might be okay tomorrow. Okay. So the hot streak might continue tomorrow. But they are the number one rated recruiting class in the country right now. I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
Great stuff. Rusty Manziel, Sandra Golden, Steak Shapiro, live SEC Media Days. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, and Rusty Manziel, a part of this morning's little tour of SEC Media Days, where the head coach of Georgia, you familiar with him, Kirby Smart?
I see him, looking dapper.
The stage, and Greg Sankey holding court again, introducing some of these coaches, and needs to get his airtime, Mr. Sankey, for sure. And obviously a very big day here. But every day is a big day when you have 16 programs and the most lucrative programs in all of college sports. And
But today is, I don't know, it's the Howells and the Rathbuns of the steakhouses, if you will. I'm trying to compare it to something you can relate to, food.
So it's Kirby and
Georgia and Sarkisian and Texas this afternoon.
Yeah, the two coaches that participated in the SEC title game obviously went to the playoffs, part of some big moments there. And then Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze will be there.
He went first this morning, then Kirby.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then it'll be Josh Heupel and then Steve this afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, marquee programs, incredible fan bases. Incredible fan bases right out of Atlanta, Georgia. And we'll have great coverage all day long on all of this. We're surrounded by sports radio stations from all over the Southeast as they try to take in Atlanta, which has been, by, you know, even Atlanta standards, a spectacular 5-6 day run of folks coming to our city in the middle of summer, in the dead heat of summer, and I can speak to that. I haven't been out last night down there at Truist. And
Was it unbearable? Was it not? You're not complaining, I know that, but was it a lot? Because I did have some friends that were like, we left. It was so hot. So
it was very hot and it was very long.
Yeah.
Waiting for Matt Olson. I mean, I was growing old waiting for Matt Olson to get up there because all the breaks for ESPN, I mean, that's part of what they're paying for. You know, and the sponsorship, obviously, that you have to keep hammering home those Major League Baseball sponsors, and everything goes on. And, I mean, by the time Matt Olson got on, I think a lot of folks were trying to hang in there to 9:30, 9:40 to get him up there. Now, it was a lot of spectacular moments. And, you know, obviously, you know, this is the showcase for Major League Baseball. But O'Neill Cruz, I mean, good Lord, there was some stuff happening there with a 513-foot home run and balls flying out of the park. And then the great story of you know.
Cal Raleigh won the Dumper Derby, if you will. And those of you who don't know, he went to Florida State, played catcher. He plays at Seattle. But Jared Kelnick gave him the nickname, the Dumper, because he's got a little junk in the trunk, to say the least. So.
Yeah, at first he didn't like the nickname. Now he's fine with it. It is.
He beat Tampa's Junior Caminero, who had 15, and Cal had 18 at the end. The story around the family: his dad was pitching to him.
Coach of Tennessee and Western Carolina.
Yeah.
His younger brother Todd Raleigh Jr. did the catching. It is about as spectacular a day as any athlete could ever have. Right? He dreamt about being in the Derby.
Yep.
His dad were pitching to him. His 15-year-old brother was basically coaching them both up. He was getting Cal pumped up when he got on a run because he almost was eliminated in his first round. And then he's telling his dad, like, here's where you need to pitch it. And then they have another two rounds of it. And it's just like an embarrassment of joy and riches. Like, what better to be on the national stage for 3.5 hours on MLB and ESPN, have your dad there and have your brother there, in the middle of a season where you are shattering records with 38 home runs, and never does the home run king at the All-Star break normally win it.
Yeah, exactly
so
right.
So there was a lot of great.
Did you see the little video when he was 7 years old? And he was,
yes.
I mean, he's
the home run derby.
He said, "I won the home." He was dancing. Yeah. I just thought it was a great, great story.
It was a great story. It was a great showcase for Atlanta.
And did you see Freddie down there, Freeman?
No, I did not.
He wasn't on the field?
I don't know, man. I was bouncing around. I was watching a lot of different things.
All right, what's going on with you? So you're going on vacation. Let's talk about this for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I know you're going on vacation. You're leaving today, okay? An unbelievable trip. So are you packed? Are you ready?
I haven't packed.
Oh, my God. That's what it is.
I have to be over by Emory right after this at 11:30.
Yeah.
Then I got a bunch of phone calls. And you don't want to hear me ramble on, but there's a lot. I haven't even thought about packing, and the flight's at 6:30 tonight. I'm not ready to go away. All right? Now, it's a great celebration. One of my close friends is turning 16. We're going to a house in Umbria, which is an amazing area.
So fun.
Right? And I'm very grateful for that. There's 8 other couples. I don't know how they're going to like me. You know, me and Kimberly are kind of awkward in that setting. I don't know if they're... We're going to be okay. So there's that.
Okay.
I'm going to visit Sophie, but I can't get my arms around being out of town.
Yeah, I can.
And I don't like being away from work or this radio show, which has had the best ratings we've ever had.
Congratulations.
Since we started here.
Yeah, that's
well, congratulations to you.
Well, thank you.
Mike Conti called me yesterday. Now, normally when I hear from a boss and they ask me, I just hope he didn't ask me to go to breakfast. Last time that happened, I got lox and bageled. And I was driving carpool for Sophie for the next few months. So when he calls me and I see the phone light up, he's the boss. And I was like, this could be one of two things. So great news delivered by Mike Conti. I appreciate it. Tell us about our ratings. Good time to go out of town. But you know the anxiety, right?
I know. I'm the same way. That's a long time to be away, but you're going to have a great time.
No, I know.
So
what are you doing here next week? Who are you working with?
Oh, I have Drew and I tomorrow. I'm super excited.
So that'll be really good.
Bo Morgan and I on Thursday. We got Greg Sankey. We'll have guests. I think Laura Rutledge is coming on with us. So
Bo Johnson will kind of be there.
No, it's Bo Squid.
No, I know that.
Oh,
but Bo's going to
he's going to run
be
the
there
show.
For you to, you know. Any stresses you
no,
have.
No, this is, I love it. I wish we were out of the office every single day. This
I know,
is way
you,
fun for
you
me.
Do shine here.
Stop.
Everybody
stop.
Wants to see you, right?
No, not at all.
And,
I just, these are good friends of mine.
So all these radios.
So you guys, Kirby's talking right now, and Kirby is giving you the state, it's his State of the Union. So if you saw on Saturday down south, you could bet on whose opening state would be the longest. Kirby Smart was the favorite. The favorite to be the longest, and he does it purposeful. A, he doesn't have to take questions, but he also has a message to his team. This is where he laid out, we're going hunting. Do you remember that? The whole
after
rugby.
After they won the national title,
yes.
After they won the national title, he said, we're hunting this year. We're not being hunted.
Right.
And that was the mindset. He lays in. And then, you know, listen, he's very – Kirby Smart, there's not a moment in front of the media, the public, that he hasn't considered. Now, that does not mean he is much more open than Nick Saban was. He is much more, I would say, at times a lot more fun. A lot more comfortable than other coaches that are up here.
Rusty and you said it perfect yesterday, just relatable in a living room. He's on more of a...
But, yeah, so that's fine in a living room, but he's also more relatable up there because he just doesn't have the anxiety over, I'm going to say the wrong thing, because he's so much smarter. Like, he's just, you know, he's smarter than any NFL coaches I was around. I mean, he really is, and I'm thinking now of a laundry list of NFL guys that could learn from Kirby of, like, you know... When everything is coach speak, when everything is a way to not say anything, and God knows we've had coaches here over the years that, you know, they talk a lot but they're not saying anything. Kirby is deliberate in what he says and comfortable with it, right?
And also, you know, you can't teach charisma, you can't teach it, and he has both. And
he's funny, he's thoughtful.
I mean, Arthur Smith is a brilliant mind. He doesn't. He lacks in the presentation.
No
and
doubt.
You have salespeople that are the best sale in their head. They're the
I
best.
Would
they
argue,
can't go sell it.
I would argue that Raheem Morris could learn from Kirby about how to not necessarily. You know, it's fine. You keep talking, but if you didn't really say anything, you can be more open. You can take a deep breath and actually have a, you know, and I think some of these coaches did.
Raheem could use a little moment of F around and find out, because Kirby has that. Kirby's having a great old time. That means, like, don't cross this line or we're going to have an issue. And I feel like I've never seen Raheem have that with the media. And I've seen Kirby. I'm not having it.
I think he's trying to work the media, Raheem. And I think Kirby just is a little more straightforward. I would argue, as the charisma Raheem has, there's something not Kirby-esque sometimes when he's talking. And the Arthur Smith just doesn't have the charisma, period.
Yeah.
This guy has everything.
Yeah.
And that's why we're proud to say.
So let me just ask you real questions, because I was listening to you yesterday. If you are walking into Hal's, and at one table, Kirby Smart is sitting there, and the other table, Tom Brady is sitting there, who are you going to go sit with to go have a supper with? Because I feel like your love both of these is...
I mean, we're close enough to Kirby that we're going to get to sit and have dinner with him. But are you going to ask me if I would rather go to Tom Brady's table?
Sorry, Kirby.
Why
you're
do
still
you
second.
Always
you're
bring
still
this
second.
Stuff up?
Second
it's like you're obsessed.
None.
It's like you're obsessed with
no,
having
I just,
to bring
I
up
I feel where this is going. Like, the love for Kirby Smart.
He deserves it.
He does.
Guy showed up in town and has turned around. Didn't turn around. He turned Georgia into the finest program in the United States
I
of America.
I agree.
God,
I mean,
sometimes you just go
great.
In directions. I don't even know where you're going.
I know, but there is a
We're
lot of love
We're live at SEC
Tom.
Media Days. Lots Brady. More on the way. Lots more conversation. Why Atlanta is shining through on Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Gold. Thanks so much. We're live at SEC Media Days. And the best lineup, I think Dukes and Bell are down at All-Star Game. And then you got... Of course, Andy and Randy just crushing it. Going to be here, I believe.
They are on a tour of.
Where are they going to be?
They're at Murph's. Mm-hmm.
Well, dude, I can't keep up with all this.
I know they're on the. They're
we're
on
all
a
over
tour.
Town. I mean, like, they're at Murph's. Wait, is that where Dukes and Bell are as well? Where are those guys? Jeez. Everybody, the morning folks, we're down here, right? And then the afternoon guys are over at, you know, there's an All-Star game going on in Atlanta that we got screwed out of years ago. Now we're back here. You know, we got a Super Bowl in a few years.
So excited.
I was there with some folks from the Hawks, my friend Andrew Saltzman.
I know him well.
Yeah. I was like, bro, what's going on here at the Battery today is what you need to envision in 3 years at Centennial Yards. And he said, Super Bowl. What year are we getting the Super Bowl, Bo? Do you know? Super Bowl in Atlanta is 2028. Is that what it is? Somebody.
Hold on, I'm looking.
Check that up, please.
Hold, please.
Get my research team on that immediately. Right? So the energy of yesterday and that moment is what the energy and the parties. Yeah, the 2028 Super Bowl. That ain't far away. As soon as World Cup rolls out of town here. Next summer, we'll be talking about, hey, we got a Super Bowl coming up as well. But that needs to be the standard of what you want downtown to look and feel like is the energy at a sporting event that you get at the Battery. And, you know, you're getting that when you hear it on the radio with those guys. And you're getting it if you're down there tonight for All-Star Game. But they're going to start getting there, I would imagine, real early. Spend the day. There's a million things to do. Like eat and drink, like all kinds of different places.
But I love how they had the whole Battery set up so you could sit outside and watch. You don't even have to go in. I'm looking at StubHub right now for a get-in price for one ticket.
Yeah.
The cheapest in the nosebleeds is $270. And that's for one ticket.
That will
so that's
come
still
way
a,
down by
you
game
think?
Time.
I don't know. I don't know that it'll come way down.
I mean, not way
you
down.
May be right.
If you're floating around the ballpark, you'll find your way in.
I just think it's a cool experience to go down, have lunch, set up a picnic. You know, you can bring your own.
Yeah.
Food, drink, and go set outside. It's just so hot.
That doesn't sound
thing.
Like a fun picnic to me. Sounds like my bald head would get fried, right?
That's true.
I mean,
hey, speaking of the Hawks, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Word on the street is
yes.
The Atlanta Hawks are interested reportedly in former Hawk Al Horford, former Celtic Al Horford.
Yeah, 7 years with the Celtics, Al Horford. And almost that long with the Atlanta Hawks previously, and he's bounced around the league. He's not even sure that he's going to play, right? So there's a few things that could happen at 40 years old. He could retire. Now, he started a bunch for the Celtics last year, especially, remember, with Porzingis out. Al Horford have to start at the five. The three teams you're hearing is Golden State, which was going to sign him last week, did not happen. Lakers, Milwaukee, Atlanta, all with serious interest, according to Mark Spears from ESPN.
So the Hawks are the youngest team in the NBA. How sweet would it be for Al Horford and that veteran, right?
Be
so
perfect.
I hope this happens.
I mean, I don't know if he's still, I think he's still here in Atlanta. I mean, he probably has multiple homes, Al Horford. You know, he went and got his championship ring and was beloved there, but Boston has no plans. He doesn't fit into that. I think it'd be great. I'll tell you what was amazing is if I didn't hear 50 people, I heard, you know, if I didn't hear two, I heard 50 say, I'm very excited about the Hawks. I was with Andrew, who is, big muckety muck over there with the team. I mean, every single person. I'm fired up. I think I'm getting season tickets.
Or
I'm going to go to more games than I've ever been to. Or I love the Porzingis move. Or great job in the draft. And by the way, Asa Newell looks really legit. Hit three or four threes the other night, Sandra. He's talking about trying to bring his game outside a little bit. He needs to be able, you can't play in the NBA and be at his size and not be able to shoot the three. But they won again in the summer league. Asa Newell looks great.
And your boy Kobe Bufkin is the talk of the Hawks. He had 25 points yesterday. As they win again, they beat Houston in overtime. Asa Newell added 14.
Well, he needs to prove he can be a backup point guard. I mean, there's no question about that. He needs to prove he can give Trey legitimate 14 minutes of rest. And when Ace have 14, I'm going to tell you it has been, and I'm going to even say, the Paul Millsap, Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague team that won all those games, the 60 wins and everything else, this is going to be a better ticket and a sexier deal. Because Porzingis is a friggin' star. Risa Shea's put on 25 pounds. Trae Young is a star. Dyson Daniels emerging, obviously, as that person. Luke Kennard signing was a great one. Asa Newell's out of Georgia. I will be in more Hawks games. I go to a lot of them than probably I've been to. You know, both my girls are going to be away at college. So, Bobby, get ready. We're going to be going to a lot of Hawks
games. Oh, y'all
are
going to love that. That's so great.
Daddy needs a little bit of, support, right? So, we're going to be going to a lot of Hawks games. If I can go see him on the road, I'm going to tell Mike Conte. I'm going to broadcast from the road.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to tell him, Mike, just get ready. I'll try to. What do you think a fair stipend would be for my meal stipend on the road? Say they're in Phoenix, right?
Ooh, Phoenix,
or LA.
A good restaurant.
What do you think the Odyssey meal stipend would be?
$150 a meal.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well,
there you go.
A meal,
you're all
right?
Set.
Yeah. So $450 for the day.
Yeah, just
I don't need $1.50 at breakfast.
No, don't ask for five. That would be a lot. But $450 a day.
I think $415 a day.
Per 15, I like that. Little trade it up a little bit.
Yes.
Make it look like they did some negotiating.
$415 a day.
Perfect.
So I'm going to run that by Conte a little bit later. But, yeah, and I think that'll work for us. Anyways.
And one other thing. I'm sorry. Some of these headlines that I get excited about.
Yeah, read them to me.
Do you guys realize that 8 days from today, so we're sitting here. I'm looking at Kirby Smart speak. It's college football day. 8 days from today, we'll be live at Falcons training camp. 8 days from today. Don't look now, y'all. 2 days from now. That's Thursday.
I can't wait.
The Chargers report.
Yeah.
So it's on.
So I want to say I listened to Bo Johnson on Sunday night, right? I went to pick up some food. I was listening to Bo's show.
Okay.
You were on till 8 o'clock Sunday night, correct, Bo?
That is correct.
I'm going to tell you that Bo, I said I'm going to steal this topic and I'm going to run with it. And he was right on point when he's like, let's just for a second say, he said Michael Penix is a rookie, essentially. He's played three games. And the chance of Michael Penix being really good, Michael Penix, it could be a lot of fun. But more likely, it's like nobody said Bo Nix is going to be awesome right out of the gate. Now, he turned out to be really good. My point is, Penix has played three games in his career. He was okay. What did he have, Bo? Same amount of touchdowns, interceptions, right? Three and three. They went 1-2. He had three touchdowns and three picks, okay? He's only played three games. And he said, Who's to say Kirk Cousins, or if they're struggling, or what? Who knows what's going to happen? You're playing a rookie quarterback, in essence. So, you
Vegas says the Falcons are going to win.
Exactly, I knew you were going to say that.
So that's why I keep thinking
we are so
we drink the Kool-Aid
in our
feelers.
Yeah,
but we're in our Falcons feelers.
Like, why would we think he's a top 15 quarterback? That puts him ahead of all these other veterans that have won a lot of games. I mean, there's optimism, Bo, and there's realism. I thought you on Sunday night was hitting on some realism.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we're just kind of getting a little ahead of our skis saying that they're going to win 10. Well, we just don't know. I'm not saying that he's not going to perform well. But what if they do come out to an 0-3, which would be completely normal for a rookie quarterback?
Right.
Is that when he turned to Cousins,
well,
or did he just tough it out?
Name their first three games. They got Baker Mayfield right out of the gate, which I guess will be favored because we're at home. But I don't know. Baker Mayfield, the, you know, superior advantage, having played and won and gone to Pro Bowls of late. Plus, they've won the division three times in a row. And kudos for shotgunning that beer on the golf course the other day at that tournament. What's weeks 2 and 3? Because when Bo says they can start 0-3, he's like, what's going to be clamoring then? You know, we got a Kirk Cousins that's completely healthy, supposedly. And I'm not telling you they could even go down that road, but who knows? Are they down that road in 1-5? To start talking about a healthy Kirk Cousins. So, you know, there is a lot of faith being put in a kid, Bo, as you said, that has played three games in the National Football League.
Buccaneers at the Vikings is week 2, Sunday night stake. I mean, at the Panthers week 3, Commanders week 4.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, listen, you better take care of your division. And if you start, I can tell you this, if they lose to the Buccaneers and the Panthers within the first 3 weeks,
we got
everything's
problems
on the table, including Kirk Cousins. And I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
Everything is on the table, including Kirk Cousins. They ain't going to be favored in Minnesota. It was a playoff team. Tampa's beaten them, not last year, but beaten them in the division every year. And then the Carolina Panthers are one of the sexy plays in the NFL in terms of up and coming. So, Bo said it. Kind of bummed me out. Bo, you know, have you heard of the Sunday Scaries?
Did I do that too? My bad.
No, I already, but like, I'm driving around, like, I want to feel good, and he's just like, oh, I'm just going to let you know he's a rookie quarterback, and like, you know, they could be 0-3, and I was like, wow. I mean,
yeah.
Let me just go home and just get in a warm bath and just, you know, I don't know, not end it all, but certainly was thinking about it. Anyway.
Pick up a little Chinese food, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
A little comfort food.
Well, that's another conversation. Nobody wants to hear about my eating. Or maybe
Kirby's done, so stay with us. We're going to get a
Rusty
recap
will tell
here
us
shortly.
What's going on. Also play some 3 Strikes, Sports Radio 929 again. Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're live at SEC Media Days. Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel, and Sandra Golden, the number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. And thanks, everybody, for spending time with us. Rusty just heard Kirby. Anything of note there, my friend?
A couple good quotes. They asked him about Nick Saban. He goes, look, I called and offered him Will Muschamp's job, but he's a little overqualified. And he said, listen, he goes, what was interesting, he goes, I talked to Nick. He goes, we still talk a lot. We still talk of defensive philosophies. And he said, I can tell you this, the decision if he ever comes back to football will be made by the boss at home, and that's Miss Terry.
Oh, that's so a great line.
Yeah, yeah. And he had one quote I thought was interesting because in this day and age, he said, we sell relationships over transactions. We want players that want to build relationships, that want to be coached hard. And he talked about what the NFL feedback was. And he goes, we don't have time to develop players in the NFL. You have to develop there. And he said, we develop through the amount of reps and how we practice at Georgia, and that's what we sell. He said, if you have other interests, this ain't the place for you. So he understood the moment and the people that were there. That was a packed room. It was standing room only. First time I've seen that. It might be all day, but that's the first time I've seen it packed out like that.
And that's, again, his message to his recruits listening. Like you
always
said yesterday.
Be recruiting.
Yeah.
Always be recruiting.
Talk about what's happening later today in the Pat McAfee.
Tyler Atkins is the number one player in the state of Georgia, linebacker out of Grayson High School. He's in Indianapolis right now. He will be committing on the Pat McAfee show. It's Texas, Oregon, Clemson, and Georgia. A lot of the buzz right now is on Texas to land him. This is a young man that is fully sponsored by Adidas. Wow. He has a team around him, marketing team, agents around him. He's the real deal. But we'll see today. But all the buzz kind of is around Texas with that one.
Let me give you our three strikes question, because yesterday we started late, and you know, it's embarrassing in front of Rusty when I don't have full phone lines.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I don't want to go through that again. Favorite dish from the South? Your favorite dish from the South? And no, that doesn't mean Reba McEntire or insert hot
Southern.
Oh, that
was a random. Nice.
Well, right.
Gotcha.
I'm thinking more like black eyed peas.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Your favorite dish from the South? Anything you consider from the South? SEC quarterback that was easy to hate. You personally, SEC quarterback, easy to hate. And what kind of person is the worst to sit next to on a plane? Have a, I don't know how many hours, I guess 8-hour flight tonight, 6 o'clock to Barcelona.
I flew back from Frankfurt, Germany one time, and this dude, all about 5'5 of him in front of me, took his chair back like he was Tree Rollins. Pissed
right on
me
top
up,
of you.
Right on top. I grabbed a seat about 2 hours into it. I said, hey, dude, you're going to have to move this,
right,
or I mean, you're going to have a problem. And by the looks of it, it ain't going to take too long.
Oh.
Yeah. And he did. But, man, this dude, just he get all the way, just laying in my lap like I was going to braid his hair. I'm like, dude, you need to
that would have been so funny.
Favorite dish from the South, mm-hmm. SEC quarterback, easy to hate, and the worst type of person to sit next to on a long flight. 404.
So I have one question. SEC quarterback easy to hate from now or all time?
SEC quarterback easy to hate. No, I mean, it's. I'm talking to you as a fan who was easy to hate.
That was easy to hate. Okay.
Mm. Listen, just interpret the question however it comes out.
Yes, Chef.
Right?
Sorry.
Just,
I will
thank
tell
you, sir. Thank you, sir.
That I was sitting next to a gentleman that was watching porn on a flight.
No way.
I've told you this story 10 times. Every single time you say this, and I was like, oh, this is how this is going to go. My hand to God.
You sure just wasn't a racy R-rated movie?
No, I think it was. I think it was not. Okay. It was, yeah.
You saw full-blown action.
Why you got to word like that? Why you got to word? Stop. This is a family show, Rusty. Why you got to take it down ugly road?
I just said.
Wait till I tell Kirby what you just said.
Oh, gosh.
404-726-0929.
So let's just say it is a shady. It's a kind of a movie scene where there's, you know, the
crazy
sex scene and all.
Yeah.
So now you're sitting next to that. Aren't you? Isn't that awkward?
I didn't watch Wedding Crashers on the way home the last flight because there's a couple scenes in there that
yeah.
I didn't. I mean, there's kids behind me.
Okay. It's not true.
No,
if it's an R-rated movie, you're watching on your own computer. Yeah. You can turn it.
So I watched
it. It is
Home
weird
Alone.
If it's on the back of the screen and it's R-rated. But I mean, again, if it's out there, it depends who's sitting next to you. Anyways, that's our three strikes. A couple of quick things that came to mind. So. I was telling you that Rusty is known here from so many radio stations, number one high school recruiting guru in the last 15 years, and now,
oh damn!
And now, of course, he's got his own site that he owns at
Dogs HQ.
Dogs HQ, and so many folks here are coming up to him. And then Sanders worked with so many folks in the business. So you were sideline reporter for the Sun Belt Conference, is that what it was?
Sun Belt, but I've been coming to this since 2002. We used to do the Southern Sports Report, so my first thing in Birmingham was 2002.
Wow. Was it at the same hotel?
Same hotel, Birmingham.
So
it'd be Tuesdays in the mall.
So we were talking up.
Oh, wow.
We were talking up just how recognized these guys are here. And then, of course, right on cue, gentleman comes up to me from the Auburn Radio Network, and I was like, oh, this is nice. Do you want me to do your podcast later? Just give you the feel. He said, no. He goes, hey. I didn't say that to him. And he goes, your food reviews, man. Like, that's why, you know, I was watching you to know where to eat. And it reminded me of the worst interview that I've ever done in my life. One of them. One of the worst interviews on my phone trying to create content for Atlanta Eats. And I was hanging out with Paul Feinbaum, and by no means are we tight.
I know he wasn't eating.
And I said to him, I'm going to do a quick rapid fire. And that's exactly what my topic was. Best town to eat in the SEC, your favorite meal if you're only in town for a night, what's got the best downtown for eating and drink. Like something about covering the SEC from a culinary beverage standpoint. And when I tell you, so you know he has, not just that he's skinny, but you know he has absolutely no interest in food whatsoever.
Yeah, he's like, he wants air and molecules.
Yeah, he like. So, Sandra, I'm there rolling on my thing. Like, oh, this will be good. Paul,
steak,
my mom.
I saw the whole thing. Do you remember us playing it over and over? It was so terrible. Like, he did not play along. It's the same day that you did Kirby, and he's like, you got to talk to Cloud. Remember, you're asking about that's the same day.
No, but I was at National Title with Kirby.
Yeah.
And everybody's asking questions. I go, what's your favorite bar in Athens? Where'd you used to hang out? When you were at school? And, of course, Kirby
plays hilarious.
Along. And Kirby loves to go out and eat and drink and all that. And then I got Feinbaum, and it was like crickets.
Oh, yeah.
Just a horrendous piece of content. And by the way, it made me think of Feinbaum with Lane Kiffin yesterday. That's gone a little bit viral. 9 minutes of just, this awkward relationship they have where Feinbaum and him, kind of go back and forth, if you hadn't seen it, about, do they get along or are you friendly? And essentially talking about him getting fired and Phil Fulmer doesn't speak to me to this day because you sabotaged that relationship.
How about that?
And I was with the Raiders and you said I was trying to get hired at Tennessee. That's why I went for a 76-yard field goal. I mean, it's a weird dynamic, man.
I feel like there's something there.
Meaning they really don't get along.
I don't know.
How could Lane Kiffin get along with Feinbaum,
I think he understands the room because Paul Feinbaum has the audience of the SEC.
That's why he does the show.
No question.
Yeah, he's not exactly.
Didn't get on the plane going, hey, what time? Can y'all get me to Feinbaum, please? Make sure.
You know what the word mensch means, Rusty? You know what a mensch is? It's a Yiddish word for he's a sweetheart. What a great guy. Like, there's a guy, you just want to give him a big hug.
Use that in Wedding Crashers. It's a real mensch.
Yes.
That's the first time I've heard that.
So, Paul Feinbaum.
Not that I like that movie.
Paul Feinbaum is not that. Paul Feinbaum is not a lot of fun. He does a great job. Now, he's in on the joke sometimes. But, he's pretty,
He's a little stiff.
And that interview with me trying to talk food with him.
That was funny. You should post that.
When you weigh 120 pounds, probably not the guy.
He's having lettuce and pepper and enjoying himself. Okay, speaking of a perfect transition, apparently Gunnar Stockton, the headlines are, he did hear what Paul Feinbaum had to say about him. And he said, quote, like anybody, you take off offense to whatever fuels you.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Paul Feinbaum had the stupidest, most ignorant, I think not cool, call him Mike Bobo. I could go out on Peachtree Street and find anybody to be a better coordinator than Mike Bobo. Yeah. That's one of the dumbest things he's ever said. Mike Bobo is a really good offensive coordinator. Just look at the numbers, and it's just a cheap shot by Feinbaum, which is probably why I'm not his biggest fan in general. Let's get to the calls. We got full lines. Thank you. Brad from Peachtree City, favorite dish from the South?
Got to be grandmom's collard greens.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes, sir.
You know how to do that, dude. You are on your
little ham hock in there.
Yeah. Mm. SEC quarterback. It's easy to hate. That was easy to hate.
I couldn't stand Peyton Manning.
He hurt a lot of feelings.
Yes, he did. Certainly on the Georgia side of things, too. The worst kind of person to sit next to on a long flight.
The kind of person that thinks that I want to talk to them for 8 hours.
Oh. That's what headphones are for, right?
Oof.
Hey, Kareem in Atlanta.
Love the show, guys.
Thank you, buddy. The favorite dish from the South, Kareem. Favorite dish from the South.
Hey, big up to the Queen. Mayor of Floyd County in my boy state.
Yes, sir.
My favorite dish from the South, I got to go with pimento cheese.
Yes.
And give an honorable mention to some sweet tea.
SEC quarterback, that's easy to hate.
It was Danny Werfel by default because I couldn't stand the old ball coach.
Well, he's walking around here,
Danny.
He's walking
around here looking for a pickleball match.
Looking good, too.
Speaking of not eating.
Yeah, that dude's in shape.
He looks amazing.
That dude's in shape. Hey, the worst kind of person to sit next to on a long flight.
Man, the guy before they invented the earphones that was talking on the speakerphone before they told you to cut the phones off.
Oh,
before
my God.
The
that,
plane
the
departed.
Obnoxious guy that wants you to know he's doing a big business deal. Dan in Cumberland, yeah. The favorite dish from the South.
Oh, man, got to have me some black-eyed peas, brother. Got to have me some black-eyed peas.
SEC quarterback that was easy to hate.
I'm going to go with Nico Lamalava, however you say his name. I don't like how he exited out of Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The worst kind of person to sit next to on a long flight.
Just like the first person said, somebody who thinks you want to sit there and talk for a whole long flight. Shut up. Hey, hi and bye. That's it. Y'all have a great one.
Marine Tim in Duluth, give me your favorite dish from the South.
It would be country fried steak.
SEC quarterback that was easy to hate.
Spencer Rattler.
And the worst kind of person to sit next to on a long flight.
Someone who has done everything and's always one-upping you.
A one-upper. Oh, yeah, dude.
I think the pattern is too much chatter does not work, right?
What happens when it's your spouse that wants to talk? Like Kimberly liked to talk? Brandy liked to talk on the plane?
Oh, dude, well, you just got to go. I got a headache. That works for a lot of things.
That works for her, too.
No doubt.
Hey, thank you, Eric, for the help. Bo back at the ranch.
Eric, thank you for everything.
Yep. Yeah, man.
And Andy and Randy coming up from Murph's.
Safe travel, Steak.
Thank you, buddy.
Hug your daughter, man.
Time.
Talk to you in a little – talk to you down the line, kids. And thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.